solid memory of took place in the following years, 1981, 2011, and 2018. Royal weddings. Charles and Diana, William and Kate, and Harry and Meghan. Now, there were other ones during that time, I know, but those are the ones that I can remember reasonably well, and they're certainly ones which captured the attention of people all across the world. And all three weddings really were the most amazing occasions. The world's media was present. Footage from each wedding was beamed live all over planet Earth. Global dignitaries were guests, world leaders, other nations' royal families were present, as indeed were lots of famous people from various areas of life, film stars, musicians, singers. And for Charles and Diana, which is the first one I remember back in 1981, I think I was only 15 years of age, it was estimated at that time that somewhere between a quarter and a third of the population of the world witnessed live what was happening in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. A royal wedding is a special event, and in the UK, we certainly know how to put them on. This parable that Jesus tells in the opening verses of Matthew chapter 22 is one about a royal wedding. Jesus is describing to the crowds, he's trying to help to get them to understand something of the nature of the kingdom of heaven. And he likens it here to a royal wedding, where the king's son is to be wed. And the invitations are sent out to the citizens of the land. And in this parable of the wedding banquet or the royal wedding feast, I just want to draw your attention to three things today. The first of which is an invitation declined. An invitation declined. Probably most of us here, certainly most of the grown-ups, the adults here, have at one time or another received a wedding invitation. Actually, my wife and I have two on the go at the minute, and we're very much looking forward to going to them in the weeks ahead. Isn't it nice to think that someone values your friendship highly enough that they would want you to share with them in such an important occasion? Now, imagine that the invitation is coming not from someone who you know well, or perhaps even someone you don't know all that well, but consider that it's coming from Buckingham Palace to celebrate the marriage of royalty. How would you feel? You'd be cock-a-hoop, would you not? You'd be ringing around your friends saying, "Would I tell you what I've got?" Your WhatsApp phone would be dinging away. You'd be sharing with them the good news. "I'm going to a royal wedding." You'd have the invitation framed. You'd rearrange your holidays so that you wouldn't be out of the country, even if it cost you a pound or two. You'd be down in Belfast, or you'd be off to Dublin, or maybe you'd be over to London or somewhere just to get an outfit. Your joy would be almost uncontainable. Little old you, little you, wee you, has received an invitation to a royal wedding. Now, is that the response that we read of here in Matthew 22? Well, absolutely not. Because the people who initially receive this invitation to this royal wedding have no desire whatsoever to be there. And look at how they respond. If you look at verse 3, the first thing they do is they simply refuse to come. Might be a polite refusal. might be an impolite refusal, but it's still a refusal. The invitation comes to them from the king via the servants, but they decline the king's request. So the king sends out more servants to them. And this time, refusal is replaced by indifference. Verse 5, after more servants come and announce that everything is ready, the animals have been slaughtered, the meal is prepared, the people pay zero attention and off they go, one to his business, one to his field. Obviously, it means more to some people that their business is more profitable than that they come to the king's son's wedding. It means more to some farmers that they're out in the fields than it does to attend the marriage feast in the palace. And while some are indifferent, well, just look at how the rest, verse 6, are actively hostile. The king's servants are seized. They are ill-treated. They are abused by the very people the king wants to come to his son's wedding. And in the end, tragedy. The king's servants are killed. So in these opening verses, we have this lovely, warm picture of the king's graciousness, his cordial invitation to his subjects to come and celebrate his son's wedding. But we also have that invitation declined, for his servants are met with refusal, indifference, and hostility. And the fate of those who decline the invitation? Well, it is the righteous wrath of this generous monarch. In the parable, those who killed his servants, who were only going out to share this invitation, are themselves destroyed, and those who remained indifferent find that their city, the place where they live, is razed to the ground. Refusal, decline, indifference, consequences. And here on the lips of the Savior, Christ Jesus, is yet another vivid picture of the awful destiny that awaits those who decline the offer of the gospel. God the Father sends an invitation to people to come and feast at his table, to come to the wedding banquet of his son. And those who decline his offer, for whatever reason, will find themselves under his wrath. And it doesn't matter how the invitation is declined, the end result is the same. An indifference, a couldn't care less kind of mentality, a heedlessness, a paying of no attention to the good news of Jesus Christ will incur the wrath of God just as surely as will the polite refusal or the overt rejection. It doesn't matter how the invitation is declined, the consequences will be exactly the same. And is the invitation to the wedding feast not this picture of the gospel? Is the generous invitation extended surely to everyone here today? Is there anyone who's excluded? And maybe if I can kind of personalize this a wee bit, and forgive me if you think I'm stepping over the mark, but let me describe myself as a servant of the king. I'm happy to be described that way. I trust all who know the Lord are. But in a genuinely humble manner, I have been commissioned by the King of Kings to be here today. and to invite every single person who's sitting in this church building to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Now, I hope I'm not going to be taken outside and done away with or killed because I'm a servant and I'm bringing this message. Some of the people in this parable are, I trust that's not going to happen to me. But will the Lord's invitation issued today be met with polite refusal, calm indifference, inner hostility? Verse 14 says, many are invited, but few are chosen. So let me ask you, are you content to remain one of the many with the invitation to come to Christ sectioned off into one of your many to-do lists? Or is today the day you actually respond to this invitation that is coming from the King of all kings himself and respond in faith to this wonderful grace and become one of these chosen few? So the first thing is an invitation declined. Secondly, there's an invitation accepted. When some of the king's servants return with the news that the people he has invited aren't willing to come, the king issues them a second set of instructions. Verse 9, go out, go to the street corners, invite anyone and everyone that you can find there, invite them to the banquet. The servants do that. They gather all the people that they can find, good and bad. Isn't that a relief? Good and bad. And at last, we read, the wedding hall was filled with guests. Jesus said the king's instructions were to go out into the streets and invite whoever they could find. Now, bear in mind who Jesus is speaking to and who is listening to what he says. Because they would have understood absolutely crystal clearly exactly what he was saying there. For the people who received this initial invitation, well, they're the people of God. The Jewish people who would not recognize Jesus as the Messiah sent of God, and they, therefore, are the ones who refuse to come to this feast. And so the invitation is being extended to those who were outside the Jewish community, the Gentiles. Those on the street corners, well, they were the uncircumcised. They were the heathen. They were the infidel. They were the idolaters, the outsiders. Oh, the very thought of God offering them a place at the wedding banquet in the kingdom of heaven was anathema to the Jewish people. And yet, because of their rejection of God's gracious invitation, the wedding banquet would be attended and celebrated by Gentiles, by those outside the people of God. Now, think about that. And think about how that might apply to us in our day and in our circumstances. Let me suggest, well, there are numerous challenges that we can take from this. Let me suggest one, that we need to be careful not to mimic what's going on here with the Jewish people, and we in our day and in our time and generation reject the invitation that God continues to give to us because we think we're the people of God. Jewish people casually assumed, well, I'm the chosen one. We're the chosen ones. God has set his love upon us. We above all others will remain in God's favor. but to remain the chosen people, it requires that in each generation, there's this response to the invitation of God, that we will for ourselves believe that Jesus is the Messiah and entrust ourselves to him. Because the Jews didn't do that, so the gospel invitation was taken elsewhere. Could it be argued that the situation here in Northern Ireland is not all that dissimilar? God has blessed us richly in the past. We've known powerful outpourings of the revival spirit of God here in our land in years gone by. And we have known that on a micro level in individual congregations and areas and families. But if we are the people who are the second generation or the third generation or the fourth generation of those who have experienced such blessing, if we do not entrust ourselves to the Lord and put our faith in Christ and know him as our Savior, then the danger is that we're the ones who've rejected the invitation, and God will take that invitation elsewhere. And when that happens and God withdraws the light of his countenance, we will be in as deep a darkness as this country has ever known. I know as well as you do that the statistics say we have more churches per square mile here in Northern Ireland than anywhere else in the world. That's true. Do you know what else is true? That Protestant churches and Presbyterian churches in Northern Ireland are declining steadily and some are closing down. I grew up in Glengormley, on the outskirts of North Belfast. I could take you today to churches within a five-mile radius of where I was born and raised that used to have congregations on a Sunday morning of 1,500 people, and they are vacant today. God has been sidelined because people believe, for example, there are numerous reasons, but surely these, that their national identity and Protestant traditions are more important than God himself. Even as I was preparing this, just even putting those words on the screen, God has been sidelined. I looked at it on the screen and I thought, that's a shocking thing to say. Would it happen here in Greater Ballymoney? And I speak as someone who ministers in one of my own churches in Greater Ballymoney. Will God be sidelined here? Because if that is not to be the case, then we need to see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, trusting him as their Redeemer and their Lord, and not assuming that because there has been a church here or somewhere else for the past X number of years, that that's always going to be the case. And in the parable, the Gentiles to whom the invitation came after the Jews rejected it, they embraced it, they accepted it. And they were the ones who attended the wedding in the banqueting hall, verse 9. It was full of guests. If we're to know full congregations, then individuals, of whom every congregation is made up, individual people need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and know his salvation in their lives. We need to see, as happened in the early chapters of the book of Acts, God adding to the church daily those who are being saved as people respond in a personal way to this personal invitation that comes from the King. So first of all, an invitation declined. Secondly, an invitation accepted. And then thirdly and finally, we see someone being ejected because they try to gate crash the reception. In New Testament times, one of the customs in some weddings was for the father who was the host of the wedding to provide for every single guest an outer garment that they would wear that would identify them as a guest. It was regarded as somewhat rude and disrespectful if any of the guests chose not to wear it. And in the parable here, Jesus tells of the king coming into the banqueting hall, and to his horror, he sees one of the guests not wearing the wedding clothes that he had provided. Now, can you imagine the scene at the door? And can you imagine the conversation that must have taken place? And the servants of the king offer this person a wedding garment. And he says something like this: "Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. Appreciate that. But really, I've actually gone to quite a considerable amount of trouble to be dressed the way I am for this occasion. I purchased my suit in Savile Row, where I purchased my dress at some amazing wedding outfitters. And so I actually believe my wedding attire is quite good enough. Thank you very much. So if you don't mind, I'll simply go and take my seat. And anyway, perhaps you could give this garment to someone who really needs it. And as you can see, I don't." Now, maybe at a wedding, something like that might have been frowned upon and a host might have overlooked an indiscretion, but not here. That is not the response of the king in this parable, because the king is God, and no one can enter the presence of the king by wearing the wrong clothes, be they the clothes of good character, of philanthropy, of civility, of religiosity, of churchianity. And the hymn writer, and we'll sing this hymn, and I want to say, I know it was sung last week. I asked Laura Jane, we need to sing it this week, because the hymn writer got it absolutely spot on whenever he wrote, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Because unless a person puts on the robe of the righteousness of Christ and lays aside those filthy rags that masquerade as righteous, then this parable tells us they will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, there will be inconsolable sorrow and agonizing torment. Two places only where the people in this parable are found. Did you clock that? Either they're inside for the celebrations, enjoying the lavish hospitality and kindness of this king, celebrating the joy of the banquet, or they're outside the festivities where Jesus is saying there is nothing but darkness and distress. It's either heaven with God or hell without God. Where will it be for you? And two places, three types of people Jesus describes are found in this parable. They only go to two places, but there are three kinds of people. There are those who reject the invitation. There are those who consider themselves worthy enough to attend, but whose dress is completely unsuitable. Or those who receive this invitation purpose to come along and put on the garments that the king has provided. Who are you like here as you go from this service this morning? My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Let's pray together.